Well, if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me real quickly to Psalms chapter 27. There was a practice that I learned at a young age to never do at my house. I know everybody's house is different, so you might could do things at your house that I couldn't do at my house. But I learned real quickly, in a very young age, not to talk back to mom or dad. Anyone else learn that lesson? And how did you learn it? The hard way, okay. I learned it the hard way, but I can tell you I learned it quickly. Hard lessons are sometimes learned quickly. And I want to pick up on what I was just saying a few minutes ago, what the Lord has been speaking in my heart today. And that is, sometimes we need to ditch our nice, refined lifestyle of never talking back. And we actually need to learn to talk back to the enemy and to the voices that the world speaks to us. Tonight, I want to talk about developing a confident heart. And I would even, I started to rephrase that even this morning and retitle this whole conversation tonight more about keeping a confident heart. Because how many know sometimes it's easy to start out with confidence in God, but when you get a mile or two down the road, your confidence can be shaken. It's easy to believe God when you can see His presence and feel His presence. But how many know anytime you walk by faith, at some point, the presence that commissioned you, He's going to release you a little bit to see, are you really going to walk out what I called you to walk out? And I know tonight some of you may have been trusting the Lord for different things in your life, and as you do so, confidence can sort of erode. And I want to tell you, when you feel your confidence in God begin to erode, you need to learn to talk back to those voices you hear. Because how do you know that the world is declaring a lot of things over us as believers today? And so since the world is declaring something, I want to challenge us tonight to learn to declare something different. Someone came by and played a trick on me today and changed the pages of my Bible. How dare they? Well, I'll tell you what, the scripture's going to be on the bulletin board anyway. Did I say bulletin board? Wow. So we'll take a trip back in time. Hey, why don't we read this together tonight? Mark, get set, go. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwellings. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high up on a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Before I read verse number 6, when we get done reading this together, all I'm going to do tonight is just reread this to you together, because I believe every one of these scriptures are declarations that we need to make over our own lives, especially when we sense the attack of the enemy against us. And so let's continue. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and again, wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I pray the next minutes of time as we just look at your word, that you will do what only you can do, that is speak to our hearts and transform our lives and give us the strength and the faith and the courage we need to be the people you've called us to be. So, Lord, I pray that today you'll anoint me above my own ability to speak your words, anoint our ears, our hearts, and our mind to hear what you want to say to us and through us tonight, because we know apart from you, we can do absolutely nothing. So we turn our ears towards the voice of the Lord, and our minds we set on you. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this Psalm of David, you could start reading this, you know, and he starts talking about the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid of? You read this and you can just feel that David's life is exuding confidence. There's no fear. There's no doubt. There's not even a smidgen of concern in his voice. But then you read further on and you figure out by some of the things he says, especially around verses 6 through 10, you figure out that he is not writing this from a state of everything being smooth. That he's actually declaring these things. Many believe he's declaring these things when he's on the run from Absalom, when his kingdom's been taken away from him, when he's having to live in caves and hide out like a homeless person. That's sort of his demeanor. It's in those circumstances of being away from all of his security that he makes this declaration of being completely secure. And I want to tell you, if we're going to keep a confident heart, or if we're going to develop a confident heart, we've got to learn to declare certain things over our lives, even when our circumstances are saying opposite of what we're declaring. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by feelings. We walk by faith and not by what we hear. And so we've got to keep declaring the same thing until what we see matches up with what God showed us. Does that make sense? So I know this might be sort of new to somebody. It may be out of your comfort zone. It may be whatever. But we're going to get over it together. I'm just convinced that if the world and your circumstances are going to declare things over you, why don't you declare some things of God over you? Why would you let declarations of the world or declarations of the enemy be the only person that's declaring things over your life? Why not declare what the word of the Lord says about you? Because I've discovered the more you declare his word, the more confidence in God will build in your life and your situation. And so tonight, I'm just going to ask you to repeat with me a few things, and then we're going to close in prayer. And I started to ask you to stand up while I do this, but I wasn't really sure I could do this as quickly as I thought I could. So I'm going to let you be seated, all right? So here's the first thing that I want you to declare with me, and that is, here's the first thing. Declare that darkness cannot put out the power of the light of God's presence. Amen. Can we say that together on your mark and set? Go. Darkness cannot put out the light of his presence. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. 1 John chapter 1, he said it like this. The message we have heard and declare to you is this, that God is light, and in him there is absolutely no darkness of all. How many of you carry around in your pocket or on your person some version of an iPhone? Okay. How many of you have a cheap imitation? How many of you say, I have the real thing? I have an Android. Okay, a few. God bless you. All right. Well, I don't know this about an iPhone, but or about an Android, but here's what I know about an iPhone, is that ever since I got my first one, I have the most convenient thing about it sometimes. It's not that it can get online, that I can pay my bills, that I can take your picture, or any of those things. The most convenient thing about an iPhone many times is simply the fact that it has a light on it. Amen? I mean, I used to always be searching for a flashlight, but now, I have changed tires, I have fixed plumbing, I have looked in on, you know, examined my body for, you know, whatever. I've done everything. The light on your phone is, amen, it's so bright. Is that a real phone or is that something else? That's a real one. Okay. So wherever we go, wherever I go, there's always a light just right near me. And that has like solved a lot of the world's problems in my life. But I want to tell you, there is a bigger and a better light with us as well. It's the light of the Holy Spirit. It's the light of the gospel. It's the light of God. And no darkness we walk into in this world can outshine the light of Jesus Christ and the light that is in us. And David said, the Lord is my light. In other words, he's saying that no matter where I go, David had a lot of things that could have been his light. His position as king could have been his light. His riches could have been his light. His relationships could have been his light. And how many know if you make something other than the Lord the light of your life, you are setting yourself up for failure, because everything except for God at some point can be shaken. Amen. But the Lord said, He is my light. And here's the good news. His light can illuminate every. Did you say that word with me? Every? Every dark place of our life, whether it's the darkness of sickness or the darkness of despair or the darkness of addiction or the darkness of disappointment or depression, there's no dark spot or dark place in us or around us that can keep out the light of the Lord. And so we rejoice. So when you begin to feel yourself losing confidence because of the darkness around you, I would challenge you to declare that the light of His presence is greater. The second declaration is that God is our refuge. Would you say that phrase with me? God is my refuge. He says He's my light and He's my salvation. He's the stronghold of my life. Proverbs says that the Lord is a strong tower and that the righteous run into it and they are safe. You know, there's always times in our life where we want to retreat. Amen? Stress at work, at school. I was thinking that, but I wasn't going to say it. You know, we can have all these things that want to make us just run for the hills at times. And many times, people who would never do the things they are doing end up doing them because they run to a place they would never go and retreat from their problems. Many people who are addicted to drugs today and pornography today, many people who have destroyed relationships and marriages and things like that, they did not wake up one morning and decide, hey, I think I'm gonna do something today that completely contradicts everything I've learned and everything I've heard and everything I've committed my life to. They don't wake up one day and decide, I'm gonna make this turn in my life. No, what happens is that the stress and the pressure and the monotony of life gets so great that they need a place to retreat to, and instead of retreating to the Lord, they retreat to something else. Amen. And their problem gets compounded because of where they retreat to. But David said, while he's on the run for his life, by the way, that the Lord is my refuge. He is my strong tower. And here's the good thing about the Lord being your strong tower. He is not a place you have to go. He is a resource and a refuge that is with you at all times. Amen. If you go to Home Depot tonight after church, you know, you can actually go in there and you can buy a storm shelter to put wherever you want to. You can put it in your driveway. One of my neighbors has it on his back porch. I hope it's bolted down. You can transform your closet into this refuge from storms. But I want to tell you, there is something better than the refuges that you and I can create, and that is the Lord. And when you feel your confidence waning, you need to declare once again that God is my refuge. Amen? Third thing I want to challenge you to declare when you sense your confidence in the Lord waning, declare this. I expect, say this with me, I expect great foes, but I expect greater help. How many know if you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to have some pretty big enemies? Amen. Jesus said, people hated me, they're going to hate you too. Matter of fact, he sort of said, if you're getting along with everybody and no one disagrees with you and no one's persecuting you, Jesus sort of teaches you might want to check yourself, because if they hated me and if you're living for me, there's going to be some people that don't like you so much, right? And when that happens, you and I must understand that we cannot let people's approval or opinion diminish God's plan or purpose for our life. You got to declare that I'm expecting great foes, and I'm also expecting greater help. Notice what verse number 2 of Psalms 27 says. David said, when the wicked advance. He didn't say if. He said when. At some point, matter of fact, at many points of your life, in different ways, the enemy is going to advance against you. Amen? Great message. Let's go home. Lord, no. I don't want to leave you there. Okay? No, when he does, remember that just as predicted and as predictable as that is, remember that God is with you. There's a couple of things that David reminds us of in that passage. Number one, he says, though a great army besiege me, he says, you're with me. In other words, David reminded us that you are never outnumbered when you're following the Lord. No matter how outnumbered you seem, don't lose your confidence in God. I'm reminded of the prophet Elisha when he woke up one morning and his servant was going nuts. Remember this? Because they woke up and the place where they were was surrounded by invading armies that was there for the sole purpose to destroy and kill them. And Elisha didn't get upset. He just simply prayed this prayer over his servant. Lord, open his eyes so he can see. And I like the fact that Elisha didn't even pray about what he wanted his servant to see. He just said, Lord, let his servant see. And the servant looked again, and what did he saw? He saw mountains around those people that were surrounding them filled with chariots of the heaven's armies and chariots of fire. I don't know about you, but it gets me excited to know that when I am surrounded by the enemy, there is a greater force that's surrounding them that is surrounding me. Amen? Amen? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So remember, you're never outnumbered. And I like the fact that David said, and the traps they set for me will eventually work against them. Can I just tell you, you don't have to really spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out how you're going to take care of those who are trying to take care of you. You can just put it in the Lord's hand, and what they meant to work against you, God has a way of causing that to work against them. And you can just focus on the Lord and declare, Lord, I know I've got some expected enemies, but I've also got an expected confidence that your power is greater and will show up just as real. Fourth tonight, here's the fourth declaration. I will, say it with me, I will. Focus on the Lord. I said this Sunday morning, and if you fell asleep, I'll say it again. Don't let the attacks of the enemy serve the purpose he sent them to accomplish. Remember you saying that Sunday morning? Every attack upon your life, there is a design purpose of that attack by the enemy. And that design purpose is oftentimes simply to get you distracted from God's purpose. And David said, I like what he said, this one thing I ask, this one thing that I will seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that I will seek his face. And David made a declaration when he had reason for his confidence, instead of worrying about the 100 things going on around him, he said, this one thing I'm going to think about, that one day I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And you know what? One thing that really encourages me and challenges me is that when David says, this one thing I ask, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, when he makes that declaration, the house of the Lord doesn't even exist. Right? David gathered the supplies and left it for his son to build. But in the middle of being chased out and being close to robbed of everything he ever wanted, he is hanging on to the vision that God has for his life. And he says, I'm not going to let what's going on around me, though the dream that God has for me looks more impossible now than when I started, I still seek this one thing, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to take hold of that one thing that God has taken hold of my life for. Friends, we cannot let go of the purposes that God put up. When he put his hand on us, we can't let go of what that purpose was about. And David said, this one thing I seek is to do what God has called me to do, to fulfill the purpose he's put upon my life. And so when you feel your confidence fading, remember that one desire that you have for the Lord. I don't know if this is helping you about, but I'm about to jump over this pulpit in a minute. It's helping me, so thanks for coming along for the ride tonight. Number five, declare this. Declare that God is with me. He said in verse number 10, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Hebrews says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I would just challenge us to remember that the absence of human resource does not mean an absence of God or his resource. Amen. He will never leave us. And when you feel your confidence waning, remember that God is with us. And number six, we got to see this one together. If you don't get, if the Lord doesn't do something in your spirit when you say this, then you just need to keep on saying it. Here we go. Point number six. Let's say that together. We're going to put it on the screen for us. I will see. Let's say it together. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what has your confidence shaken today, but somebody needs to declare that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Sometimes we get messed up and we preach that the only hope that a Christian has is in the next life. Now, we got great hope in the next life too, but we also have hope in this life. David said, I'm going to see the goodness of God in this land, right? Peter said in Luke chapter 18, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. And the Lord said, well, wait just a minute. Not one single person has left anything. Houses, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, not any of that. Would you not fail to get back more than what you gave up in this life and in the life to come? Amen? Now, I know that serving God and giving to God is not transactional. Right, it's not, I'm going to give God $1 so I can get two. But I do know this, when I plant a seed, it's going to produce a tree. When I give, when I'm obedient to God, he is going to be faithful to his word, not some of the time, every single time. Amen? And when you are losing your confidence, declare that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Verse number 7, declare, I will wait. Or I am waiting. Let's say that together. I am waiting for the Lord. Megan, if you want to come. David said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How many know that waiting is not passive? Right? We think of waiting as going to the doctor's office and sitting in the lobby, and 2 hours later, after you've read every magazine, it's finally your turn. That's our definition of waiting, but that is not the biblical definition at all of waiting. I had a boss that taught me the definition of waiting when I was in high school. I worked for this guy, and he would say this. I work construction. He'd say, while you're resting, why don't you go pull the nails out of those boards? While you're resting, why don't you go dig that ditch over there? While you're resting, why don't you go pick up those tools? While you're resting, why don't you do that? And I found out pretty quickly by day two that, oh, we don't do rest on this job. I remember the first time I worked with some guys who actually were in a more, I guess, sophisticated line of work. And every 3 hours rolled around, they got to take a 15-minute break. I was like, a what? I was unfamiliar with those. But that guy taught me that resting is for later. Sometimes we think waiting is just doing nothing. And I'm not saying it's all about work, 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 but I'm saying this. Waiting is actively pursuing the will of God and the things of God while you wait. David said, I'm going to be of good courage, and he's going to strengthen my heart while I wait. I'm still going to serve God while I wait. And my last scripture I want to tell you is Hebrews chapter 35. Why this is so important for us to be people that declare that when we feel our confidence waning, to declare the promises of God over our lives once again. Take out Psalms 27 and just begin to declare this again so your confidence doesn't fade. And here's why it's so important, because Hebrews 10:35 says this, don't throw away your confidence because it will be richly rewarded. Amen? So I want to ask you, would you bow your heads with me this afternoon? And I want to close in prayer this way. I know all of us in this room, we're all in different stages of life, we're in different, facing different battles, and I don't know why it is, but it always seems to me the hardest battle is always the one I'm in right now. And sometimes the battle we're in can begin to erode our confidence in God. And I want to tell you, if your confidence is waning, to remember that, and not just remember, but declare God, you are with me. God, I will see your goodness in the land of the living. Lord, I am going to stay completely focused on you. Like David said, this one thing I ask, this one thing I seek. If your confidence is waning, remember, there are expected foes, but there's an expected greater power as well. Declare that he is your refuge, that he is your strong tower, that he is the light of every dark place. And I just believe tonight that if you're in a state of struggle and your confidence is waning, I just believe the Lord, most likely the Holy Spirit, most likely made one of these declarations most meaningful to you. And I would just challenge you right now, whichever one of those were, would you just begin to declare that right now over your life? Just right there as you're seated. You don't have to say it loud enough for me to hear, but I do think you need to hear yourself say it. Lord, I am going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Lord, you are my light. You are my refuge. You are that strong tower. Lord, you are that help I can count on. And we believe that. We believe that tonight. We believe that tonight. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now let's stand together and just let's close out in this refrain of worship tonight. And if you walked in and your confidence was waning, why don't you just give that situation over to the Lord right now and let the Lord infuse you with new confidence, new power, and new grace for the moments you have today. Let's worship together before we pray. Father, I just declare right now, every person in this room is property of the King. Lord, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We are sons and daughters of God. And I just pray that the confidence of being your son and daughter will not be eroded from our life. But in moments where our faith seems shaken, we will declare the goodness of God. We will declare what has been spoken over us by your word, that we will choose to believe what you're saying more than what we're seeing or what we're hearing. God, we're going to declare you are faithful, you are loving, and we are yours. So God, see after your people today. Lord, I pray you will bless them and keep them. Let your face shine upon them. Give them peace and joy both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you. Why don't you find four or five people, shake their hand, give them a high five, do something, let them know you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord today. God bless you. Thanks for being here tonight.